She's the host who likes butter on her toast. This is Sanjana Needs a Friend.
Everyone, welcome to the official start of the show. There's truly nothing more horrifying than listening to your recorded voice several times over in the process of editing, but we made it through. Here we are.
Here we are.
Hi, Dave.
Hey, Sanjana. How's it going on the East Coast today?
Sunnier than usual.
Yeah, you know what? Also here, sunnier than usual. We're recording this on Blue Monday. Usually the saddest day of the year, but the sun is out. So I'm thanking God.
Is that what this day is called? Blue Monday?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know that. I assumed that would have been sometime in February.
I think they say it's in January.
All right.
But it's a good day today.
Yeah, it's a blue sky Monday.
Yes, I like that. So we should probably tell people how we know each other over the years and why we're doing this funny podcast together.
Yeah. Don't tell them it's a funny podcast, Dave. That's an oversell. We don't know if it's going to be funny or not.
Well, we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, we think we're funny, but that's just because we lived in the same house for a year.
We did live in the same house for the year. Yeah. I was running an internship out here in Vancouver.
And I was doing an internship out there in Vancouver.
Yes. And despite all the craziness of that year, that year.
Those years.
We are still friends.
It was so bad. It felt like multiple years. Oh my gosh. Yeah, true. We are still friends. And I got to say, Dave, you have a very high retention rate when it comes to how many of your interns stayed on staff. There were 5 of us that lived downstairs and 4 of us are still on staff. That's pretty impressive.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. I don't necessarily know that it was super impressive because of anything that you did. It just
exactly. I said thank you, but I don't feel I need to say thank you for that.
Yes. Yeah.
That's not me.
No. I really want to say that it was us, but I don't think that's true either.
Well, I think it might be a testament to your relationship with the Lord that you wanted to come on staff despite having an internship with me out here.
Fair enough. Well, we've been friends for a long time. Why are we talking to other people now? That sounds weird. We did not talk to other people before, but.
But I mean, before I said you were the host with the most from the East Coast, and I think that is true because you're the one who has all the really great ideas for awesome podcasts and media interactions. These days, especially with our Reset 1121 happening.
Well, thank you. I try. I've been wanting to do a podcast for a really long time, and I just happened to be part of an organization at a time when I can try some crazy things and nobody really minds. And I'm on the East Coast where nobody ever looks anyway. So it's really nice because I just get to do whatever I want and nobody cares.
They're going to be looking now.
Yeah, well, I did do myself in a bit that way, but hey, here we are.
So why don't you set up for us again? What's the purpose of this podcast?
Well, aside from making myself some new friends across the country, hopefully, we really just wanted to talk to staff about things that staff care about. What is your experience of ministry and life working with InterVarsity? And as we enter this season of Reset, how can we integrate ourselves better with one another as co-ministers and, yeah, hopefully eventually as friends?
And so today's episode, we have people from the National Resource Center, from camp ministry, and from high school ministry. What are we going to talk about?
We're going to talk about what we do. That's so broad, but that's the truth of it. We're going to talk about what each of us do, what each of us does, and what we think we do. like what we think each other does. Oh, I guess also what we think we do ourselves. All sometimes often difficult questions to answer when you work in ministry, more or less depending on what exactly you're doing, which you'll find out in the episode.
So today's conversation is actually going to be a conversation in two parts. And right now you're listening to the first part of our combo.
Well, let's see who my friends will be today.
Hi, my name is Ben, and I work out of the Toronto office, the National Office, which is now known as the National Resource Center. And I am I'm an accountant. They chose to give me the title of CFO, so I will gladly take that. Sanjana, it's been a privilege. That's all I can say. I've known her from day one when she joined IVCF, and yeah, it's good being her friend.
Hey, it's Alex Meeking from Vancouver. I am the program director at Pioneer Pacific. And being Sanjana's friend makes me feel like I am perpetually 4 hours behind.
Hi, I'm Vanessa Cordapel. I live here in Calgary and I work with high school ministry. I lead the team here in Calgary and do some national stuff with HSM. And I, without, at the risk of sounding creepy, I've kind of wanted to be Sanjana's friend for like a couple years. 2021, at the risk of sounding creepy, is the year of making Sanjana my friend. Now that I don't say her name like Sanj. Sanj. You can edit that part out. Did that sound creepy? Should I change that?
No, but it was like for the kingdom of God creepy, so it's good.
Well, all right. So we've got someone from camp, someone from high school, someone from the National Resource Center, I think we're calling it now. And Dave and I from whatever we do. So we thought we'd start with some descriptions, but we'll start with some descriptions of each other. So what do you think each other does? The other people on the screen, what do you think their job is? Maybe I'll put Ben on the spot because he's highest up in the organization. So he should really know. Ben, what do Alex and Vanessa do?
I know Alex keeps Brian Burchett in line. I know that.
And you're telling me.
Yeah, that's you. And Vanessa keeps the, I mean, right now she's keeping the interns in line. And, or she used to, but in transition now. And I also know that Vanessa likes to have Starbucks coffee, especially when it's loaned, by the CFO. Those are some of the things I know. And she's a lot of fun. And so is Alex too. But I don't know Alex as much as I know Vanessa.
Thanks, Ben. Oh, I'm blushing. Well, I think for me, like, there's aspects of your job that I do know that you guys do, but if I just like sit back and close my eyes and just like visualize Ben at the office, he has a banjo and or a fiddle and he's just going from cubicle to cubicle. And then every once in a while he goes in his office and just computers really hard and then goes back out with his next instrument. And that's my understanding of your job, Ben.
You are spot on.
Spot on. Okay, sweet. And then with Vanessa, I think same thing, sit back, close my eyes, and I just see Vanessa in a coffee shop with a teenager, just like lighting up that space with her laugh. And that, like in my mind, I'm like, that is your ministry.
That's slash what over. I wanted to say, Alex, as well.
Okay, got it, yeah.
The coffee shop that's actually pretty true.
Yeah.
99% of our organization lives their life in a coffee shop. So I think we're the prime benefactor.
That's fair.
Starbucks. If I could picture Ben, I picture him with one hand approving my expense form and putting money into my account. And then the other hand, like keeping Nigel in line and helping Nigel film his famous videos for Staff Zooms. Like the most recent video of Nigel with the moose head.
Yeah.
I think Ben was behind the camera. The CEO and the CFO, critical film offering. I think that's what CFO stands for. If I were to think about what Alex does, I'm guessing in like a day at camp, you go from climbing a wall with some kids to maybe throwing some kids into the water to leading a prayer to leading a campfire devotional. That's what I think, like you're program director. Hey, Alex, mm-hmm. I think you probably do everything under the sun, including washing dishes at camp, I'm guessing. A lot of dishes.
Yeah, camp, man, you're doing everything. But yeah, I think that was pretty good.
I'll be honest, I completely forgot that in that Moosehead video that like someone had to be holding the camera for that. I didn't even think about that.
I hate to disappoint you guys, but Nigel does not include me on these fun projects. Oh. He sidelined me on that one and I'm still sulking.
Wow.
You just keep showing him your minstrel abilities and one day he'll put you in the spotlight where you belong.
Yeah.
I think our benefits covers counseling. Hey, Ben, just to...
Thanks, Vanessa. Keep that in mind.
I mean, I can understand Nigel's like worry of having you steal the show too, though, Ben.
Oh.
I mean, cameras these days have selfie modes and, 45 minutes filming and then he finds out it's just the Ben show.
And I think that's what it is. There's an element of jealousy and an element of fear. And, so.
Any other attributes of Nigel that you want to talk about? List off there, Ben?
It's good. That's what this show is for. Let's
air it. Dave, you're going to edit this podcast, right?
With a substantial donation to my staff account, yes. I make preferable edits.
Well, when I was getting the microphone from Nigel, he said, "Hey, what's it for?" I said, "Well, they're doing a podcast, like trying to ascertain what is it that you do." And he said, "I've wondered that myself many times."
That's good. Well,
yeah, I mean, so how many years have you guys been doing what you're doing? Ness, how many years have you been in this?
So this is year number 9. But the confession is that I was actually on campus for 7. So I'm only a year and a half into high school work.
Right.
And the other year was, I was the CFO of InterVarsity until Ben took my job. But it's okay. We're moving through it.
but so how do you guys describe your jobs when other people ask you what you do? Because I've been doing this this is my 5th year now, and I still don't have a great answer. I used to say I was like a university chaplain because people kind of had like a bit of a connection point for that, but like they don't anymore. So sometimes they'll be like, "Oh, what is that? Like a youth pastor?" Sometimes they'll just be like, "I'm sorry, I don't know what that is." And I'll be like, "Oh yeah, right. People don't go to church anymore, I guess." So how do you guys describe what you do?
Do you guys feel like you have like a dictionary of, or like a resource book of like 100 different ways to describe your job based on who you talk to?
Like a literal one? No, but that would be nice.
One. So like when your hairdresser asks what you do, you're not going to jump into, "I spend all my life doing leadership development with youth," because she has scissors close to your head. You keep it really like, "I'm a youth pastor," or...
Sorry, so you're answering the hairdresser out of fear of them holding scissors and less out of like ease of communication.
I mean, that felt critical, but maybe shouldn't have spoken. I thought you were going to drop the like, "Why aren't you faithful in sharing about what you do in your faith to your hairdresser?" So thanks for not taking it that far.
I just love that the explanation had to do with scissors near your head. I love it.
What was the question, Sanj? I'm sorry.
How do you describe your job when other people ask you what you do?
I would agree with Vanessa that it depends. There's a long list of how I respond depending on who's asking and what the extent of the interaction is, for sure.
Yeah. Do you want to throw out a couple examples?
Sure. Yeah. Like, I think, yeah, similar things, passing the street. Sometimes I'll just be like, "Yeah, I'm a director of summer camp. I run a summer camp," something like that. And then if they have more questions, you unpack it. But other times, people that know me or have known me, getting more into what actually I do, or talking more about like the discipleship aspects of the role, and such things. It really depends. As they ask questions, I will answer any of the questions. So even like using Vanessa's example of a hairdresser, like my barber, like at this point has a pretty good understanding of what I do, but it did start with like, oh, I run a summer camp, and then from there going into, you know, a part of a team, and this is what we do, and we, you know, discipleship, youth, and all this stuff, and getting into my faith and whatnot. So yeah, absolutely what Vanessa said. It depends who you're talking to at the time.
Are there things that you wish you could say?
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, I don't necessarily feel like shortchanged in those interactions. I feel like for the most part, I've been able to explain it to the extent that I felt like that space needed. Yeah. I don't think I've ever really felt like, oh, I should have done that differently necessarily. And I think part of that is because there is just such a breadth of exactly what I do, throughout the year. And it looks different at different times of the year. So maybe that's why.
How would you say your job differs from between the summertime and the like fall, winter?
Oh, yeah. I mean, in the summer, your world shrinks for sure. And your focus is rather immediate. And then in the winter, fall, springtime, it's quite a bit more spread out. And yeah, the initiation piece is incredibly high on my end as far as implementing different things, and just our population is spread out compared to the summer when, you know, I can just walk over to the staff housing or whatever. They're all there.
Yeah, how much connection do you continue to have with staff and campers, like outside of the summer programs?
Yeah, that's a great question. This year is very different, obviously, with the restrictions and stuff. But in the last 3 weeks, the amount of just soaking wet, rainy walks I've been on, because that's all we're allowed to do these days with different staff members and whatnot, because right now they're off school and such. So there's just a bit more availability for them. But yeah, it can remain pretty high. It really comes down to them as well, how much they are interested in it. But in a regular space, you know, I would have been having like a fire in my backyard and everyone comes over and those sort of activities and connection points. But yeah, some of them, you know, they move away, or they just, you know, it was a really great summer, but then they're present where they are. And some of them, they actually really, you know, this is their main community for these years. And that's, you know, and so it really depends on the individual, but I find that it's quite substantial for the most part, the amount of connection and journeying throughout the winter months with one another. It's pretty fun. How about you, Vanessa, being in high school and then going into the summer months? How does that span for you?
Yeah, so I actually also direct some camps at a Pioneer. So I direct a girls' camp, which is ages 12 to 17. And then I've been co-directing the LIT program the last, I don't know, I've lost count. There were a couple of years I overlapped with Ruthie Lewis, and I don't really know if I was directing those years or not. But yeah, so basically summer months feel just as busy as school months, actually, which is, it's actually a huge gift because I love camp. And it's really fun to be able to go to camp as a 32-year-old as a part of your job. Although that's always a fun, if I can just be off, you know, be honest for a second, that's always a fun thing to bring up on a first date. Hey, what do you do in the summer? I go to summer camp. That's always fun to drop and see what happens in that space. But yeah, I feel like, honestly, summer camp is kind of the, like, it's the year ministry on steroids a bit, right? Like we get so much ministry done in 2 weeks that it equals the rest of the year. And so actually the year feels a little bit slower to me than the summer, which feels funny for a campus staff, because I think the majority of campus staff, I think, would slow down some in the summer even if that includes some summer ministry. But for high school staff, we run hard, and I think we wouldn't change any minute of it, because we tend to be really fun focused people. So summer camp tends to be a fun place for that.
That's kind of a nice way for those things to fit together, it feels like. And to maybe put some limits on your ministry during the year, like good ones, like some healthy boundaries, because you know you don't get that those like 2 months in the summer to just like restock and then go hard all year or something. I don't know.
So I'm an Enneagram 2, which means that boundaries are like the hardest thing in the world for me. But that is true. That has been a really good gift of ministry, has been forced learning on boundaries and forced learning on good rest, because with high school work, you can't slow down the pace as fast. And also it's just longer, right? So you're from end of August to the end of June, pretty hard. Mm-hmm. And in August, I take over the CFO role. So it's just a busy time for me.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
Yeah. So Ben, when you're not on vacation in August and letting Vanessa do your job, how would you describe what you do?
Well, I think, you know, in many ways, my job is easier when people ask me, what do you do? I always just tell them that I'm an accountant. And everybody, you know, just imagines whatever they want to imagine. And I let them be. Unless, you know, I rarely introduce myself as a CFO, because I think that puts things in people's mind that may not necessarily be true. So, you know, and so I just stay away from
like what, like what things?
I don't know. They attribute too much intelligence, and you
not
know,
enough guitar like, playing.
Exactly. I mean, they don't attribute enough fun. You know, although the F in the CFO is for fun, but nobody knows that. You know, so stuff like that. But you know, truly, you know, there was a time when we were asked to prepare a statement in one of my workplaces, like, if we were giving an elevator speech about what it is that we do. And what I came up with was that I'm a Christ follower with a specialty in accounting.
Okay.
so that's what it is. Because I feel that I wait for people to ask me what do I really do. And most people are just satisfied with when I say accountant, and they go away, and or they just keep quiet. And but there are others who then want to dig deeper and say, hey, so tell me a little bit more about your work. And then there's an opportunity to talk to them about you know, why I do what I do. I love what I do. This is what God made me for, and stuff like that. And then you hear weird stuff like, you know, I can't believe you're an accountant. And I say, well, you haven't met Vanessa yet.
Then I was just thinking that in my first year of staff, I was a little grouchy about being asked all the time what I did and the 2-hour conversation that comes with it. And so I was on the plane and actually told somebody that I was an accountant as a way to not to answer the question, which it's not a moment I'm proud of, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's one way to shut up further conversations. Hey, I'm an accountant. Ah, okay.
Yeah, saying you're a pastor can also shut down a conversation pretty quickly. So, I mean, I think what's interesting is that everyone kind of had some common ground around this idea of like saying a little bit and then letting people ask questions to, you know, to then say more. Like there was no one who was like, yeah, I just share my whole life story as soon as someone asks me what I do for a living. But I think like part of being in ministry is that your life story is really tied into what you do. And I certainly wasn't planning to be in ministry ever, and then just kind of wound up here.
is that true for you guys? Like, did you always know that you wanted to work for a youth-based nonprofit that focuses on discipleship and leadership training? Or did you have other thoughts, goals? Was there ever a time in your life when it was easier to answer the question, what are you doing?
I think I ran away from the idea of working at a youth nonprofit more viscerally than I did running to it. So when I was a student, there were a lot of people joining staff and a lot of people doing the internship. There were 8 of us, I think, out of my graduating cohort that did the internship that year. And I'm an anti-bandwagoner, which I don't think many people know about me. I think they think I'm mostly just generally happy and bubbly all the time. And then there's this little side of rebellion inside of me that says, ran away from the bandwagon. So my whole internship, which Dave and Archie can both affirm this idea, was me actually saying, I don't want to work for a university. What else can I do? Until God kind of forced me to work for a university. But there was a long time where I thought I would be doing family law at this point in my life, and had a really big heart for youth and teenagers, funny enough, and thought that law was the best way to do it. And also I'd make some good cash with it and probably drive a nice car. Urbana 09 ruined and wrecked my life a little bit. And the internship also ruined and wrecked my life a little bit. So it's funny now to think, well, actually there are ways that I'm built for ministry. There are ways that the things I loved about the idea of working in family law is what I do now, just more in a redeemed way. But I kind of had to get through the, ugh, I don't want to do ministry. What else can I choose to do? Or the, ugh, I don't want to work for a university. Everybody else is doing it. How can I not be like everybody else? Such a white Canadian snowflake millennial mentality, right?
Do you feel like you're past that now?
I think I'm mostly past it. I think, I don't know, for you and Alex and Ben, I don't know if you guys, and even you, Sanj, like, there are some days where I ask, what am I doing with my life, right? Like, those are still moments. I think as I've gotten older into my early 30s, the season of wisdom, I've learned that I think those have passed a little bit more because I love my job so much. It's easier to remember that you love your job and that's a good gift in your life, that you can love what you do. And so it's not always helpful to think, well, what are the 18 other occupations I could be doing? I'm also an ENFP. So I go to Urbana Exhibit Hall and change my occupation at like every mission booth, right? Urbana 18 decided I was going to become an aircraft pilot for Africa Inland Mission.
Yeah, they need those.
They need those. It's not me, but they need those, you know? So.
Hey, Vanessa, you're on a pilot project anyway. You know, this episode is a pilot project.
Oh, really? Oh.
Yeah, we are all.
I hear flying. This podcast gets canceled after the first episode, but.
Well, yeah, because we still haven't talked about basketball. It's a basketball podcast. We haven't even mentioned.
Thanks for listening, everyone. This is part one of our conversation with Alex, Ben, and Vanessa, and I think they're becoming friends with Sanjana.
Yeah, so far so good. Come back on Thursday to hear the rest of our conversation with Alex, Ben, and Vanessa, and come back every other Monday for the start of a new conversation with more friends from InterVarsity.